5 Drive. Catch up. By the way, with Bibi and Bangula on 5 Drive.
Kendall Gears, my goodness, literally one of the coolest contemporary artists coming out of South Africa. I am so excited to be chatting to you today because, like I said, you're an overachiever in the art space. My goodness, welcome to 5 Drive.
Ah, what an honor. I'm so happy to be here.
I love the fact that you're a conceptual artist because your art is so profound and just so beautiful. Please, can you tell us more about, you know, choosing this type of art and what inspires it?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been around for a long time and I came back to South Africa from exile in 1990 after, you know, because I was part of the anti-apartheid movement. And coming back to the aftermath of the crime against humanity, I had to ask myself, so what kind of art would make sense? And at that time, I just couldn't bring myself to make beautiful paintings or beautiful art. I had to make something which was challenging, something which would address history, address the imbalances, address the way we think. And the direct way to address the way we think is to make work which is about thinking and about perception. Because already back then and right up until today, I really believe that art changes the world one perception at a time. So let's go straight to how do we construct our faith systems, our political systems, our languages, how do we communicate? And so that's, you know, that's where the work, you know, positions itself in that line between thoughts and words and actions.
I love that. And I'd like to speak a bit more about that because, you know, there's still so much happening, not just in SA and in the world. And your art addressing so much of these issues. When people look at your art, what are key things that you want them to take away and learn from your work?
Well, you see, the most important thing for me is my work is political, not in the sense of me telling people what I think. It's political in the sense of where I invite people to analyze what they think. So very often I use a mirror or I try to create a situation where people have to decide for themselves. And the question, the burning question is, what makes good people do bad things? And how do we arrive at, you know, circumstances such as what's happening today in Ukraine? How did we arrive, you know, 40 years ago at apartheid? How did people support those systems? And the only way is to look into the mirror and try to ask yourself, and this is, you know, a lot of my work then works with language. And so in the middle of the word believe is the word lie. So how much of what you believe in is a lie that's been taught to you? And if you understand the lie, how do you go about re-educating yourself? How do we go about healing the wounds of past traumas? How do we deal with the sins of our ancestors?
My goodness, you're saying like so much incredible things. And, you know, everything you're saying is proof as to why today you are literally one of SA's most established artists. And there are so many artists who are going to be listening to you today and listening to what you're saying and looking at the work you're doing and going, whoa, how do I get there to a point where, like Kendall, I get, you know, to be a voice for so many things that have happened in the world? And what would you say it takes for an artist to get to the point that you are at in terms of, you know, the recognition that you've received, especially globally?
Very simply, courage and faith. You know, in the 90s, at the end of apartheid, I was literally run out of town by a lot of neoliberal art critics writing for the neoliberal newspapers who said what I was doing was a joke. They completely mocked me, reduced me, and made it very difficult for me to actually survive on a human level, let alone on an artistic level. But I stuck to my guns, excuse the pun, but I stayed true to what I believed in. And I never made art to make other people happy. I always made art to interrogate myself, to interrogate my history, where I'm coming from, in the most sincere ways possible. And eventually, if your language is strong, if your language is pure, if your language is true to yourself, you will get there, you will succeed. Because what the world needs is art which tells us things we don't know, rather than telling us things we do know. And the best way to do that is to interrogate yourself. And in a way, you know, soul search, understand your emotions, understand your fears and desires. I mean, that's what we work with. We work with emotions. And how do we transform those emotions into images or objects or experiences?
Mm-hmm. My goodness. And now, you know, with the incredible art that you have put out, you're one of the South Africans that are going to be representing us at the Paris 154. Now, this is a big deal, but also for somebody like yourself whose art has been displayed at the most prestigious art fairs in the world, do you feel like you ever get, you know, you don't get as excited when you see your name as, oh, look, Kendall Gears is representing SA at another great art fair? Or, you know, is the excitement still there as you go into the Paris 154?
Yes, so not just the Africa Art Fair 154, but I also last week was in the Venice Biennale where I showed a work. And the excitement's there because I never want to rest on my laurels. I never want to repeat my successes because the world keeps changing. I'm a different person today than I was in 1990. The world is a different place. Today we need to think about climate change. We need to think about much more pressing issues than your own ego. And so in order to do that, I'm constantly challenging myself and I'm constantly showing work that is taking risk. And because I'm taking risk, it makes me nervous, it makes me insecure, and that's what makes it real. And it's that insecurity which gives you the adrenaline rush when you eventually exhibit the work and people can, they respond to it, they react to it. You know, last week in Venice at the Biennale, people were reacting to my work. And it made me so grateful, it made me so happy that I'm still able to speak in such a way that people can respond. People of different generations, not even people who know my work. So I'd like to surprise people who do know my work and then inspire people who don't know my work.
And speaking about, you know, people still being excited to see your work, do you think that the way African art has been perceived over the years has changed? And what are those changes do you think you've seen, if any?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a very, very important and powerful question. I remember the first big exhibition of African art was in 1995 and in London. And around the same time, I think it was just after, there was Catherine David made Documenta, which is pretty much the Olympic Games of contemporary art in the world. And she literally said, there is no contemporary art in Africa. Wow. And the curator before her, I think in 93 or, it must have been earlier in the, I forget the date. But anyway, the curator before her, 5 years before her, Jan Hoot, said, there's no contemporary art in Africa. Now you imagine then we eventually, when we arrive at 2002, when Okwi Nwezo, who did the Johannesburg Biennale in 97, is not only an African curator from Nigeria, but he highlighted African art. And already then it was very tentative, but we'd gone from there's no African art, there's no contemporary African art, there is contemporary African art. And we arrive at a point today where, you know, if you look at the Biennale of Venice last week, the awards all went to African-American, African-British, and African artists. Suddenly, African art is not just present, but at the forefront of what's happening in the art world. So we've come a long, long, long way. But the challenge now is, okay, it's certainly inside fashion. And how do we take that fashion? How do we take the door that's opened to us and make sure that African artists remain at the big table, remain a language and a voice that has something to say? So we're not the artists being quoted by Picasso, but we're the ones who are changing the way art works in the world today.
And speaking about, you know, changing the way art works in the world today, what changes would you like to see more of in the art space, and particularly in the South African art space?
More generosity. You know, I think that South African artists, it's so difficult to survive and earn a living. It's so difficult to actually get recognition within South Africa. And that's because the audience is extremely conservative. What I would like to see is more generosity on the part of the artists, but also more generosity from the galleries and the curators and the collectors to be able to share experience, share knowledge, and educate one another so that we can take these languages, refine them, make them more powerful than any other country in Africa and more powerful than anywhere else in the world. And because what we have in South Africa is unique. We have experience. We've lived, irrespective of our age, we've all lived through something incredible and extraordinary, and the job's not done. We're still trying to define what is South Africa. We're still trying to come to terms with our histories, with our traumas. And art is important in the process of healing and transforming, and with art we can do so much more than the politicians. And if we helped each other and if we're generous in that process, we would empower each other to the point that we would just get better and better and better.
And I want to, you know, go back to something that you just said in answering this question, where you said in South Africa, it is so difficult for an artist to make, you know, a living and to survive off their craft. Do you think that living in Belgium currently has opened up to more opportunities than it would if you were currently in SA?
Certainly, because as I said earlier, as a conceptual artist in South Africa, that is still problematic and still complex. People are still wanting to buy, and let's face it, if you want to earn a living, you need to sell. People still want to buy, you know, more classic kinds of art. At least in Belgium, there's a long history of conceptual art, so it is easier to earn a living. But at the same time, my roots are in South Africa. I go back every year. I spend a lot of time in South Africa. I try to support young artists. You know, it's really important to me that South Africa remains at the core of my identity and my practice.
Kendall, you are such an incredible mind, an incredible artist, and truly so inspiring to so many young people and other young artists who want to be where you are today. Honestly, thank you so much for hanging out with us on 5 Drive, and we cannot wait to see you represent us even more than you already have.
Well, you know, the job is never done, and you know, no matter how much success or recognition one has, there's also the give back. And that takes a lot of effort and commitment, and so important that I continue to share the voice, but also share the resources and share the opportunities with artists from South Africa.
By the way, with Bibi Mbangula on 5 Drive. Catch up from some of the best moments from the 5 Drive team by going to 5FM's catch up page on the 5FM app or 5FM.co.za.